Hello, viewers. We know that our regular viewers will be expecting a particularly hilarious opening comedic segment. We're going to go in a different direction this time. Forgive us for a little self-indulgence, followed by a relevant call to action for our viewers. We hope you had a very happy 4th of July weekend. Sadly, my family did not. We did not because we had to put down over the weekend our longtime pet and companion, our cat Harry. We were reminded during Harry's illness and the decision to put him down of why having a pet could be such a problem. They get sick, they sometimes mess up the house, they make us never want to go on vacation. And we wouldn't give up 1 minute of that because of all the benefits that we get from having pets. Particularly Harry, who was a big mush of a cat who liked nothing more than to sit on any human being that he could find handy. But all of the many pets that I've had over the years and my family has had over the years have all had distinct, unique personalities that are wonderful and add tremendously to our family life. Our sadness over Harry's passing is tempered by the knowledge that Harry lived a remarkably good life for a pet. He just passed his 16th birthday, most of which were years we expect very happy and healthy. We were unfortunately reminded of the millions of pets who do not have such a happy fate as Harry. Every year, almost 2 million cats and dogs are euthanized in our shelters for lack of a good home. If you've ever been thinking that maybe you'd like to get a pet, this would be a good time to do it. They are a wonderful addition to the family. They are wonderful for teaching children responsibility, empathy, compassion, love. If you are prevented from getting an animal because your apartment building does not allow pets, this is a time to start rallying your fellow tenants to change that policy. Maybe the no pets policy could be replaced by a no people who don't like pets policy, which would make everybody happy. If you already have a pet, make sure that your pet is well taken care of. Make sure that your pet has identification in case your pet ever gets lost, because many of the almost 2 million animals who are killed in our shelters every year are animals who actually have homes, but get lost. Consider putting a microchip in your pet if you can afford it. In any event, make sure your pet has a tag. Work to spay or neuter your pet, and maybe if there are feral animals in your neighborhood, see if you can work and help on a catch and release program where the animals get spayed and neutered. Maybe support your local shelter. And do something after this 4th of July weekend to improve the lives of our companions. Okay, now on to the show.
It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Good afternoon and welcome to our post-July 4th edition of Forward Nation Radio. We hope you all had a nice 4th of July holiday. On today's show, we will begin with the news with a bit of a 4th of July tint to it. We will take a listener question. We will, as a new feature, pose a question to our listeners, and we will talk a little bit about the Trump administration's successes, so to speak, thus far. Starting with the news, big news over 4th of July weekend was the Chris Christie washing ashore on a New Jersey beach. That's right, Governor Chris Christie was spotted on a New Jersey beach. Now, this is particularly irresponsible because the beach was closed and nobody else was there. So who would be there to throw water on Chris Christie and keep him wet until they're able to figure out how to get him back into the water, like the other beached animals? Okay, kidding aside, why this picture is so relevant is what it tends to indicate. As you probably are aware, New Jersey beaches were closed, as were many other New Jersey services and parks, because of a budget impasse. The budget impasse that, after the picture of the governor lounging on a private beach was released, the impasse managed to get resolved. Now the beaches could be open for all. I just think this is, every now and then there are pictures that are more iconic than they would seem like they should be. And to me, this is one. There is just something about Governor Christie lying on a public beach by himself with his family members, without the public there. This, to me, is just such a statement, so consistent with the basic Republican position on everything, including Trump's calls for infrastructure investment. Why waste beautiful beaches by letting all these people get on it, when wealthy people could just own the beaches themselves and keep the hoi polloi out? So much of the Republican Trump agenda is about exclusion for the wealthy, not having to deal with the masses, that picture of Christie lounging on a beach that was closed to the public, I think, speaks volumes. Also, the 4th of July weekend news, while Americans were celebrating the 4th of July holiday by setting off rockets and firecrackers, making pretty colors, North Korea was celebrating the 4th of July weekend by setting off a rocket of its own. Turns out North Korea, our experts, our intelligence agencies now believe, has a missile that they tested over the weekend, landed in the Sea of Japan, our intelligence agencies are convinced could now reach Alaska, U.S. territory. Something's going to have to be done about North Korea, about this rising threat, a very unstable, repressive nuclear power. Does anybody really trust Donald Trump to be doing this? I remember when George W. Bush, Boy George, ran for president, and people understood that he was a bit of an intellectual lightweight, although apparently an intellectual titan compared to the current president. His supporters said, oh, the president doesn't need to make important decisions. He needs to hire good advisors. We learned quickly during the Bush administration, and tragically, that in fact there is a role for the president. When your advisors disagree, it's up to the president ultimately to make important decisions about the future of the country and the world. I know that there are a lot of people in this country right now taking solace from the hope that Secretary of Defense Mattis will be making the decisions on how to deal with North Korea and this emerging threat, because God knows nobody wants Trump anywhere near it. Maybe it is better to have the completely unelected Defense Secretary make these decisions. But this is a reminder, should be a reminder to most of us, why a thoughtful, engaged, intellectual president who's not a joke is actually important to America. Okay, keeping with the 4th of July news theme, lots of news about democracy and voting in America. We've already criticized the state of democracy such it is as it is in this country. But now we've got a couple more things came out over the last few days. Fuel for the fire. The House Appropriations Committee just voted to fund the Election Assistance Commission. That is, defund the Election Assistance Commission, the only federal agency that helps states make sure their voting machines aren't hacked. Sound familiar? This didn't seem to be a great time to be attacking an agency that's designed to prevent voting hacking, considering how much voting hacking Russia did. According to our intelligence officials, The latest estimate, Russian hackers targeted our election system in at least 21 states in 2016. This bill, should it become law, this decision to defund the Election Assistance Commission, is a gift to Russia for July 4th. Also in the Promotion of Democracy Department, the $4 million funding request for the Election Assistance Commission, it's worth noting, is less than the cost of two trips by Donald Trump to Mar-a-Lago. That's the entire funding request that the House just voted to deny. But we have, riding to the rescue, the White House Commission on Electoral Integrity. On election integrity. The White House Commission on Election Integrity. Talk about a highfalutin, nice-sounding name, a glittering generality. For what is effectively, as is being admitted by Republicans, an effort to make sure that a bunch of the wrong people don't get to vote. And by wrong people, I mean people of color and people who might vote for Democrats. This commission and its vice chair, Chris Kobach, who made a name for himself by striking people from the voter rolls in Kansas and preventing people from voting in Kansas, has sent a letter to 50 states asking for sweeping voter data. Kobach pointed out that he's asked for publicly available voter roll data. In fact, that appears to be, tighten your belts, a falsehood. That much of this information that he has requested, like someone's Social Security number or military status, is in fact private, or is supposed to be private. And never before has a White House sought such data. All in the guise of preventing electoral fraud, which doesn't exist, in order to promote the preventing the disenfranchisement of voters who might actually vote for the other political party. What a patriotic thing to do around the 4th of July holiday. Well, good news, at this point, at least 44 states have already refused to cooperate, most of these states being run by Republican governors and Republican legislatures, have said to the federal government, no, we're not going to cooperate. The commission is made up, generally, of people who are committed to preventing voting rights. Okay, in other news, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, one step below the United States Supreme Court, blocked an EPA effort to dismantle Obama-era regulations on methane emissions. Methane being a global warming gas far more potent than carbon dioxide. And under Obama, rules were implemented to limit the destruction of the planet. The EPA decided to cast those rules aside. And the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled, and this is, it's interesting, one, that the rule gets to stand, at least for now, but two, what a statement about how the Trump administration is being run. Basically, the ruling of the court was that the EPA's decision was so arbitrary and capricious, lacking any justification under the law or policy or scientific fact, that it did not meet the criteria for EPA actions. Okay, during the week, Donald Trump continues to hold campaign fundraisers. He's not very good at governing, but apparently he's pretty good at campaigning, so you might as well stick with what you know. So he continues to campaign while he's the president of the United States. It's okay, he doesn't spend a lot of time running the country, so it leaves him time to raise money. That's annoying enough to begin with, but it is increasingly evident that these fundraisers are being used as a way to raise money, not just for Donald Trump's political campaigns, but for Donald Trump. They are generally being held at Trump properties, where people are being billed a lot of money for these fundraisers. So not only does Donald Trump's campaign raise money, but Donald Trump's properties help him get even richer. We mentioned on the show a few weeks ago about how Donald Trump's son was running events for, what was it, a cancer organization. And the Trump hotels, the Trump properties, were billing them an extraordinary amount of money to hold their fundraisers there, taking money away from cancer research and putting it into the pocket of Donald Trump and his family members. Gee, being president can be fun. Also out this week, results, the first time since the financial crisis of a decade ago, every major bank in America passed its stress test. Stress tests were implemented to try to make sure that banks would not fall into the same trap they fell into before, where they would be found illiquid when things went badly and wouldn't be able to pay their bills. So there is good news that the banks have passed their stress test. The problem, of course, is what this will lead to, and also that there are a number of critics who are arguing that the stress tests were somewhat rigged, that in fact the banks were not nearly as healthy as would seem to be indicated. Well, you combine that idea that the banks aren't as healthy as they appear to be with the fact that the banks appear to be very healthy, and that will allow us to continue to reduce financial restrictions. And the concern is not that this is an indication of financial health, but an indication, once again, that we are starting to travel down a road that will not end well for us. Okay, more bad news. As expected, automobile sales in America were way down in this past quarter. We knew this was going to happen. They've been saying for a long time, but the extent of the drop was dramatic. Lots of people lost their jobs, despite the fact that Donald Trump had said that there will be no job losses in the automobile community. He will make everything wonderful. Again, as bad as these numbers are, automobile sales down 3 months from this time, 3% rather, from this time a year ago. In many respects, it's way worse than that. Because the only thing that's making those numbers not worse than they already are sales of large pickup trucks and sport utility vehicles. With low gas prices, Americans figure it's this time, if they're going to buy something, they're going to buy something that will hasten planetary destruction and kill many of their fellow citizens, increasing the number of accidents on the roadways as well. So we're not only not selling enough vehicles or making enough vehicles anymore and are laying workers off, but the vehicles we are selling are taking us in absolutely the wrong direction. What would happen if we had a policy to promote even greater fuel efficiency and emissions reductions than we already have? Maybe instead of selling large pickup trucks and sports utility vehicles that result in more dead Americans, we'd be selling more electric cars. And maybe we start catching up with the rest of the world on manufacture of electric cars. Human trafficking report came out during the week. I hope you didn't miss this. An extent of how much human trafficking exists around the world. We like to talk about the Civil War ending slavery in America. Didn't end it even in America, but around the world, as we've indicated before, more slavery exists today than has ever existed. China got downgraded into the worst category of human trafficking offenders. This is the country that we need to help us with North Korea, climate change, etc. Donald Trump, he would be very upset if we got through the entire news without mentioning Donald Trump. So let's mention Donald Trump. He likes to inject himself into the news, and he did so a couple of times this week with some real presidential behavior. First of all, of course, was his tweet regarding Mika Brzezinski, the co-host of Morning Joe on MSNBC in the morning. Once again, taking the opportunity to demonstrate his misogyny, that is, his hatred of women, his lack of respect for women and decency and proper decorum as a president of the United States, by talking about her bleeding from facelift operations, wouldn't let her to his club. I guess it's an improvement over, you know, Megyn Kelly bleeding from you know where, all those places. What a class act. Certainly when the President of the United States needs the world community to come together to address an issue of great common concern, such as North Korea. It's great to have a president who's alienating everybody who comes in contact with him, whether personally or even just from reading his tweets. Germany's leading party of leader Angela Merkel has indicated that they really want nothing to do with Donald Trump. Also, another class act, Donald Trump's TV commercial. Another campaign ad showing him attacking someone with a CNN logo on his head. This is apparently taken from years ago when Donald Trump was involved in a promotion in WrestleMania. And they show Donald Trump knocking down and beating up the media. Isn't that cute? Isn't that wonderful? What a way to celebrate the July 4th holiday by once again continuing the attack on a free press. Finally, one last bit of news that I just want to raise. Article in the New York Times reported during the week that federal affordable housing tax credits are increasing segregation. The companies are getting tax credits for building affordable housing, but find they generally get those credits only if they build that affordable housing in places where nobody has enough political clout to complain about affordable housing going up in their neighborhood. So affordable housing keeps being concentrated in those poor minority communities that become poorer and more minority. More segregation in this country. Something we also talked about in the last show or the show before. And on a related note to that one, again, about what this country seems to be about as we ponder the July 4th weekend, Yankee Stadium money. The Yankees, in order to get, I think it was recently valued at about $1 billion worth of public funds to build their playground in the Bronx. Part of the deal was that the Yankees would have to set up a fund to help the neighboring community, which does not tend to do better from Yankee Stadium being there. This has been a great ripoff in American economics and politics for years. Some rich person wants to build a monument to himself, a wealthy stadium, or a stadium that will increase his wealth. He wants public money to do it. So they always come out with the usual, which is we're going to build that stadium. It's going to help the local community. It's going to add value. It's going to do wonderful things. Except it never does. If anyone's visited the area around Yankee Stadium, which has only been there for, what, about a century? And that it's not an area you tend to want to hang out in. Anyway, so they had to set up this fund to help support the local community and the impact, negative impact they might have on it. Well, it turns out, where's that money going? Not to the local community, but further away to wealthier communities in the Bronx. So the Yankees are taking taxpayer money, setting up a fund to give more money to people who already have the resources, not the people who are being harmed by Yankee Stadium being located in their backyard. You know, the kind of people who get tax write-offs for going to a Yankee game, not the kind of people who can't afford to go to a Yankee game. Okay, that's it for the news for this week, at least as far as the show is concerned. We have a viewer question from Diana from Flushing. How can independent candidates be heard in running for public office if the system is only focused on Democrats and Republicans? Independents tend only to be used as leverage in elections. There's no question we have seen repeatedly the difficulty of running an independent campaign for anything, certainly for President of the United States, given the amount of money that's involved. So how can independent candidates be heard in running for public office? Well, you know the most obvious example to that one, something we've talked about before, which is you better find an independent candidate who's a multi-billionaire, like a Michael Bloomberg, or perhaps a Donald Trump. We never know how much money he has. Michael Bloomberg and other billionaires can fund their own campaigns. They could spend perhaps the $1 billion or $2 billion of personal money that might be necessary to make their campaign be heard. But I would say the better lesson, since right now independent candidates that might really be a popular voice of the people don't seem real possible. Well, we did see what Bernie Sanders was able to do in this last election. No, he wasn't able to win, but he was able to change the debate. He was able to get close, and maybe he was able to lay the groundwork for he or Elizabeth Warren or some other progressive getting the Democratic nomination in 2020. That may be the better option. Maybe, at least in one party, there is room for a progressive independent candidate to run among the Democrats. In the Republican Party, I guess, one can argue that Donald Trump was in many respects an independent candidate, although this is not one that we necessarily want to cite as something to be replicated in the future. The other thing that, of course, will happen with an independent candidate is to generate a groundswell of public support. If the American public is engaged, if they don't make their decisions based strictly on TV commercial, then independent candidates have more ability to get a toehold and to succeed. You want independent candidates? Get your friends and your family members to be more informed about what's going on and learn about the candidates who may not be pushed by the major media or by the major political parties. Okay, very briefly, this July 4th holiday got us thinking about a lot of things, most particularly why we are waving the flag. We put up our American flags, we dress in red, white, and blue. And I'd like to pose a question for our listeners, and we will have a spot available on our blog where you can answer the following question. What does it mean to you to be an American? What is your source of pride living in America? What does July 4th mean to you? Please take a few minutes to put your responses in on our blogs. I'd love to be able to read through some of these responses and talk in a future show about what July 4th and what America means to people in America and people even outside of America and the rest of the world. Well, just a couple minutes left, but I'd like to talk for a few minutes about Trump's accomplishment so far as president. On the one hand, you see polls that indicate that Trump's most loyal supporters are thrilled with all that he's accomplishing and doing. On the other hand, more thoughtful and informed conservatives, one of whom, a friend who I was speaking to about this just yesterday, are arguing to liberals that we've been overstating things. We're the boy who cried wolf, I guess. That in fact, since Trump has been able to accomplish so little, our fears for what this administration would mean are overblown. Well, I respond to that a couple of ways. One, we're almost an eighth of the way through this administration. I'm not exactly counting on it being as impotent as it may have been for the next 3.5 years, although there's no question the hope is there. On the other hand, we do say that there are things that a working American government, as a progressive, I believe in the importance of a working government. And if our government isn't doing anything bad, that's a start, but our government should be doing things that are good, and that's a non-starter in this administration. Sure, the incompetence of this administration, the Republican Party, has led to some major setbacks. Our courts have stopped some of their worst actions. On the other hand, this reminds us of at least one accomplishment Trump has had, a very notable one, putting in 11% of the United States Supreme Court right now. And God forbid that number goes up to 22% with another vacancy. They are, as we speak, looking to fill lower federal courts throughout the country with conservative judges who can be expected to rule in support of whatever Republican policy is enacted by the administration, despite how much it may be against the interests of this country and the people in it, in its effort to further enrich the wealthy. Even though not a lot of laws have been passed, I'll put it to you that there are a lot more things that have been accomplished, that are being done by government, that will never make the radar screen. And that, in fact, a lot more has been done than we are giving credit for having been accomplished. or undermined. Next week, we will talk about some of those things. The drainage of the swamp, Trump filling his cabinet with incompetence and crooks, and the Congressional Review Act, which was not often discussed, but allowed President Trump in his first several months in office to repeal many bits of legislation enacted by the Obama administration to promote a better society. That'll be next week. We hope to see you then. We hope you're well in the meantime. Like listening to Forward Nation Radio? Please like us on Facebook. Go to see us on Instagram. Enjoy, you want the full experience? See this video and video from every one of our shows on our YouTube channel. Don't miss us on Podbean. Download podbean.com so you and your family can listen in the car. If you love what you heard or even just like us a little, please like us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And please keep the questions and answers coming. Tell your friends, spread the word. Forward Nation Radio. Have a good week.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.